Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the freedom you've given us. Lord God, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline, or sound mind. Father, I pray that this presentation will be one of inspiration and merited helpful instruction, and that you'll inspire each of us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, as to what you want us to do in the realm that you've given us where we are. And we just to open up our hearts and our minds to that direction right now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. How many heard Pacific Justice Institute before? Raise your hand. Okay, a number of you have. I know some of you receive our... How many have you... I drank coffee this morning, which speeds me up. I'll try to be more of my Texan history and slow down a little more. But how many of you all have heard of Pacific Justice Institute before? Okay, so some of you. We are a nonprofit 501c3 legal defense ministry. And we specialize in defending religious freedom. And specifically, we defend businesses that are Christian and are being persecuted because of their faith. We really work hard to make a point to do that and to do so in a committed way. So we do our work completely without charge. We have a network of hundreds of volunteer affiliate attorneys across the United States. And we've helped businesses in litigation without charge, and also with counsel without charge. So we do a lot on the defense work, but we also like to empower business owners so that they can have a clear understanding of what they can do to live their faith and evangelize their employees, their customers, their community, and how they can even partner with churches and ministries in ways they never would have dreamed of. The good news is, today we're going to be talking about that with specificity. And so I don't forget, I want to make sure you guys are aware, we have this training video. Some of this material is on part two of the training video. And so you'll find that really helpful. Part one is an inspirational information about three CEOs that actually applied their faith and dealt with the struggles of applying their faith through their companies. So part one is inspirational. It's about 15 minutes. Part two is about 25 minutes. And it's the entire smorgasbord of things you can do. And we're always updating information. And we at Pacific Justice also have a newsletter called the Faith in the Workplace Update. It's a quarterly newsletter. And we've partnered with FCCI. So it's a joint partnership. And we provide this through FCCI. To their members. How many of you guys received that? Yeah, we just recently started this, so maybe I haven't received the latest quarterly newsletter. If you haven't, feel free to talk to the staff about that to make sure that we get that taken care of, because I really want to make sure that you guys get the next one that goes out. A quarterly newsletter we come out with called Faith in the Workplace Update, and you'll find it really constructive and very helpful. Now, I want to first off address right off the bat the Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage. How many have heard of the Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage? Raise your hand. Wow, you guys are really paying attention. This is good. So, come on, welcome, please, come. And so there's a lot of aspects to it. One of the aspects that you will see is an acceleration of lawsuits and litigation with regards to businesses. We've seen the bakery and the florist, those that specifically deal with marriage. We're going to see some more litigation regarding that in the days ahead. But I think that, and in fact, we at Pacific Justice have one of those pending right now. We're waiting for a particular state to see if that state's going to press charges like the other states have similarly, and we're still waiting. I can't reveal any more information than that at this time. I think this decision is going to give greater empowerment to see that being facilitated. We're also going to see this apply to companies and corporations in another way, and that is with regards to benefits to married couples. There's not case law definitive on this, forcing someone in a state that has traditional or natural marriage, is the word I like to use, recognized but not the others. But because of the Supreme Court decision, because they specifically referenced the Equal Protection Clause in the context of gender-based discrimination. That was part of their decision. Because of that, okay, I'm going to try to stand over here. If I'm blocking the screen, just go like this, and I won't take it the wrong way. Okay, just. So, because of that, we believe that many judges and courts are going to interpret their statutes dealing with gender-based discrimination to carry over to apply to same-sex marriages when it comes to benefits like health insurance and things like that. If there's a company out there that stands their ground and says, no, this is against our beliefs and convictions, contact us. We give our free counsel without charge. And if you need to and you want us to represent you on that, we will do so. But this is an area that is of high risk at this point. Not absolute risk. It's not absolute you're going to lose, but it's a very high risk. So I like to be upfront with that. So as you can see, it's pretty doom and gloom, and there really isn't much we can do about any... No, I'm just teasing. I sometimes joke when I give presentations and tell people, I say, you know, so I just want you to know the fact that my wife and kids and I next month are moving to Costa Rica, you know, don't take that in any way as that we're... And people go, oh, no. Yeah. It's like, anyway. But let's talk today about some real positive, proactive things. And by the way, if you have questions, just jot those down. We're going to take Q&A. And if we ran out of time, I'll stay here and still do some Q&A with you guys or during the breaks, okay? Other breaks. Okay, UNRU Civil Rights Act. This is a classic. This is a California state law. And the reason I'm pointing this out is state laws, in addition to the federal civil rights statutes, states have civil rights statutes as well. So as you look at these issues, you need to be aware, and by the way, there's some things added to this, dealing with religion, sex, sexual orientation. And in California, we have gender identity as a part of it as well. These are some things that you're going to need to be dealing with, and as these become incorporated into more and more state statutes. And gender identity is blazing like wildfire right now. And it's a real crying shame. We at Pacific Justice Institute are litigating the issue and actually pushing an initiative in California to set that back, to curb that back, to protect the privacy of girls in locker rooms and showers. But these statutes are also going to be applied and expanded to deal with public sectors and even private sectors. We have come up with an initiative that we're offering and getting signatures for in California that will, in addition to protecting public restrooms and play facilities, it'll also protect private businesses from liability, from being able to be sued because of their policies regarding restrooms and other facilities, like 24-hour fitness and these kind of places, be able to be protected from scumbag lawyers, from legal representatives of, you know. All right, anyway. You know, I tell you something, lawyers always get a bashing. I mean, we always get our reputation, it's terrible. Well, let me just tell you something. Let me set the record straight. It's the 99% out there that give us 1% a bad reputation. That was good. That was a joke. I've said that before. I can see people saying, yep, that's right. You know. So. Okay, let's go through the application here. And if you need to take notes, you have questions, talk to me later. And once again, this is a valuable resource for a lot of the same information. In the mission statement and business names, you're free to have your business name. You can put a fish on it if you want, you know, Cornerstone Financial or, you know, Jesus's Donuts, you know. I mean, you can do whatever you... Thank you. I know, that was good, though. That was good. Thank you, Thomas. It's good. I appreciate that. And that's right. That's right. I'm always looking for people to sue. What's your name? Okay.
Somebody can advance your slides if you stand in front. Somebody would be willing to.
I could do that.
Could you do that for me? Oh, that'd be so awesome. Thank you so much.
But you have to tell me what I need.
Okay, good. So we're dealing with...
Keep going.
I'm going to look at this. You can see I'm very well prepared. Just trust me. Just trust me with your litigation. No. Okay. Yes, that's right. Thank you. I appreciate it. So here's the deal. In terms of your name, it can be Christian. It can be your bylaws. It's good to reflect your faith in your bylaws. And the reason is because this allows you to prove and validate that you are a Christian business, you're a religious business, and that you're not being hostile to someone, you're being proactive to someone because of your policies. You're not trying to be mean to someone because of your Christian music, it's because of who you are. So it's a good thing in your mission statement, the same thing. And there's been wonderful talks about this. I know Greg has talked about this. And by the way, if you didn't get to hear his presentation, excellent substantive presentation with regard to HR application. I attended and I was very impressed. So this correlates very well. So if you haven't seen his and you like this, you want to see his. And also Peter, he's going to be talking later on, his presentations at the same time. You want to get that information as well, okay? Because it's the three, I think, work very well together, just FYI. All right, and then wall postings that include belief and principles. You can post this with no problem. Business cards, once again, you can do that as well. Now, application of Title VII, hiring employees as a Christian business owner. You have legal requirements when it comes to hiring. You can't say, I'm a Christian, I'm protected, I can hire whoever I want. So tell me, are you a Muslim? Generally speaking, that's not what you want to do. There is a circumstance, though, where you actually need to inquire in the interview process. Generally, you don't ask someone their religion. That's been the rule. But then the Abercrombie and Fitch case came out, which basically gives you an obligation, a requirement, that if you see anything that may require reasonable accommodation, that may trigger it, you need to inquire. This is a case about a lady who had a head covering. She was Muslim. And they didn't ask her about it. And in their emails, they can say, hey, we're going to have problems because our code policy has no head coverings allowed. It's obviously that, you know, she's religious, so we're not going to hire her. It's going to be problematic. Court said, whoa, if there's any reasonable belief that there's a need for religious accommodation, you need to ask about that, and you need to try to reasonably accommodate. And they didn't. For employees, Christian employees, this will actually be a tool that we could use on a positive way. But for employers, it's going to be another pain in the neck. It's a greater obligation you have and a greater opportunity to be sued if you do not take notice of possibilities for reasonable accommodation and inquire specifically, do you need any reasonable accommodation with regard to any religious beliefs that you may have or practice? If you see anything to trigger that, you need to bring it up. Do you have to bring it up just randomly? No. But if you see a head covering or you see any jewelry or something like that, it's always you want to be on the safe side. It also applies with how you treat employees in the workplace, too. So if they don't bring up their religious before they had to let you know about their religious beliefs to reasonably accommodate, if you just see that they're, based on what you observe, that there's a possibility, you need to address it and inquire. So it's a greater obligation. But here we'll continue. Be careful what you ask in an interview. What you ask has to be related to the actual, who's his cell phone at? That is so rude is that mine? Oh, sorry. I'm so embarrassed. No, I'm just teasing. I knew it was mine. There we go. Done. Okay. So, you want to be careful what you ask in an interview respecting all faiths. All right. Now, can you ask them, you can ask them anything, just continue on. You can ask questions relating to character and job performance issues only. Now, character. You can be creative with regard to character. For example, a question I love to ask, if I'm hiring an administrative person, I'll say, so tell me, if I'm busy in my office and I don't want to be disturbed, do you have any problem telling people that I'm out of the office and I'm not here so we don't have to worry about people coming in and bothering me? Do you have any problem with that? I would say 80 to 90% of the time, maybe close to 90% of the time, you know what the answer is? Oh, no problem. I can do that. No problem. And okay, thank you for that. And I go, I cross them off. Why? Because if they're willing to lie to them, she's willing to lie to me, or he's willing to lie to me. So trick questions in terms of character, that's fair game, okay? But you want to make it related to issues. Now, if they bring up their faith, you know, do you have to say, oh, don't talk, don't mention your, I can't hear that? You know, no. What they want to provide and initiate on their own without you soliciting, that's fine. What about you soliciting and mentioning your own faith? Can you do that? Yes. You're protected to say up front, and you should, we are a Christian company. We have a Christian mission. Here's our mission statement. This is who we are. This is what we do. But we don't just hire Christians. You know, we hire other people. Christians and non-Christians, but we want to let you know this is our culture, okay? And then, and you say, you know, I'm not going to ask you about your faith. That's not appropriate. But I want to make sure to. I want to find out though. Would you feel comfortable working for a company with this kind of a culture and this kind of an environment and mission? And then you watch their feedback. Sometimes you'll see, that's fine. And obviously, people do this. Their body language is sometimes opposite what they're actually believing. And you also want to listen to what they don't say. Like, let's say they say, no problem. And what do you do then? You're free to use silence, to solicit, to make, to. So what you do, you look at it and say, so silence is a valid tool to solicit, to get people to talk, so you really can be sure that they feel comfortable. Not that you're discriminating based on religion, but you do want to make sure that there is not something that's problematic. And then the interview process is very important, that you do not ask specific questions about religion on which church they attend. Can employers require training in religious harassment law? Not only they can, they should. We at Pacific Justice Institute have a training on our website called faithandworkplace.net, and this training will reduce levels of liability from religious intolerance lawsuits. You notice when we mentioned the Unruh Act, that state statute, in addition to sexual orientation and race, there was religion. In the federal EEOC statutes, religion is a part of that. It has the same power for liability as race, ethnicity, and national origin. And yet, we don't give very little exposure to that in our society, and yet business can be very vulnerable. So you want to reduce levels of liability for religious intolerance lawsuits. You also want to reshape corporate culture to be faith-friendly. And then and part of reshaping culture to be faith-friendly is these kind of programs can sort of let employees know of all the things that are okay. So you're sort of like inoculating them. This is being recorded, isn't it? This is like helping to prepare them to be tolerant so that when you implement things, when you start playing Christian music and have different things that we're going to talk about, they're not going to react and respond and say, separation of church and state, even though the government's not involved. People love that phrase, you know, when they're uncomfortable. They just say, separation of church and state, you know. So it'll help and prepare them so they're not going to be as reactive, and they'll understand, oh, that's right, I was trained that this is all okay. This is all okay. Educate employees of their rights under Title VII to no longer have to pay any dues to their union. That's another part of the presentation that we recommend. How many of you have union members in your company working with under your company? Okay, let's lay hands and pray for this man right now. it can be very frustrating, but promoting our Choose Charity program, we're going to talk about a little later, can be very helpful to you and very liberating for many of your workers. Christian Bible study or prayer meeting. As long as attendance is not mandatory, an employer can hold regular Bible studies or prayer meetings. Keep in mind the following. Number one, it is best if upper management does not lead the study. The reason, because upper management can arguably be intimidating, all right? You're leading it, and so it's great if you have, if possible, it's not required, but if possible, having a third party participate instead. Be sure employees know that the faith meeting is voluntary and that there will be no benefits or favoritism shown to anyone attending the meeting. Now, could you legally, according to EEOC guidelines, could you say, this is a Bible study meeting, it's for the morals of our company, maintaining a moral company and our vision is part about serving God, and so we have this Bible study, and everyone's required to attend. If this violates your personal religious beliefs or convictions, let us know and we'll accommodate you and not require you to attend. Could you have that as a policy? The answer is yes, you could. But as an attorney, I'm not giving you to the very edge of the cliff, okay? That's the very, very edge. A step backward, which is puts you in a little safer position, and I, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into that, but a little safer position for purposes of litigation and future lawsuits would be if you just simply flat out made it voluntary, okay? But let's say you had a program where it was a training, job training program, but it had a Christian viewpoint, a Christian perspective. And it was very relevant and related to your company. That situation, you obviously want to make that mandatory, right? It's employee development training. But you still want to make a point to say, by the way, this is from a Christian worldview perspective, or part two or part one of this is going to have reflected from a Christian perspective. If this violates your beliefs and you want to be reasonably accommodated, talk to us and we'll make sure you're excused or dismissed at the proper time. Okay? So, or it is best if a study is done outside of regular business hours. Once again, it's best. Is it mandatory? Can you have it during work time and have other people just working instead of, yeah, you can do that. But it's best for purposes of prepping you for possible challenges to have it outside of regular business hours. And that would include during lunchtime, okay? During lunchtime would be fine as well. Next, sharing your faith. As business owners, there are several ways you can share your faith. One is through corporate chaplains. You can actually bring someone on to serve as corporate chaplains. Unfortunately, there aren't any organizations that offer these services, so just teasing. There's two organizations. One is a corporate chaplains, and another one is marketplace chaplains. Wonderful groups, and I referenced both of them actually in our training video. So I think you'll find a lot of ministries actually referenced in our training video. Next, you also have in the natural course of conversation. Barry McGuire, and he talks about this on part one of the video of McGuire Car Wax. He'll be talking to an employee, somebody hires someone, and he'll talk to him. And he'll say, Rod, I love good jokes. And last Sunday, our pastor at our church, he told us the funniest joke. He said he came to us on the stage and he said da 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 da, and instead of doing such and such, he did such and such, and it was so funny. And Barry looks at it, at the response of that employee. And if that employee is a Christian, the Christian will say, oh, really? What church do you go to? Mariners. Oh, really? I go to Saddleback. Oh, that's great. Da-da-da-da-da. So you're a Christian? Oh, I am too. Oh, that's great. But if they're not a Christian, they'll just go, they don't respond to that. And that gives Barry an understanding, okay, this person's probably not a believer. And I need to be praying for this person. Do I need to be treating them this way or that way? No, you treat them the same as every employee. Then I need to spiritually, I need to be praying for this person. And then also, in conversations, if something comes up with Rod, his son got in an auto accident, he says, hey, Rod, I just want you to know, I heard about your son getting an auto accident, and I want you to know I'm praying for him, and my wife and I are praying for him, and we're going to be lifting him up in prayer. So, hope things work out. If we can help you, let us know. Yeah, and so Rod, our head of the clicker, click. Okay, this guy, he goes to church, he offered to pray, and so when things really come up, the door will be open, and this is what happens with Barry. Employees come in and say, hey, I need help, or my life is crushed. And they see that he's open because he's open about praying for his employees and to share. In the natural course of conversations, you're permitted to share your testimony via email or other avenues as long as you make it clear that reading it is voluntary and also make it clear why you're sharing your story. Here's a classic. Send out an email message to all your employees saying, many of you wonder what makes me tick. And unfortunately, I don't have the time just to sit down with each of you individually. I wanted to give those of you who want to know what makes me tick, I'm giving you an opportunity to click and hear my story. This is not required. This is to be read. This is totally optional, but I wanted to make this available for those of you who are interested. You send it out. And in there, can you mention Jesus in your attachment? Yes, you can mention your whole story. Now, Satan's big thing he loves to give you. He likes to pop in your head. You know what he likes to pop in your head? He likes to say, Wayne, they heard you cuss yesterday when you got really angry that the assembly line wasn't working properly. They all heard you say the D word, and you have no business sending out your testimony. Well, none of us are perfect. I will tell you, people who work for Pacific Justice Institute, you say, isn't Brad a perfect, holy man? Just sent from God. Isn't he just a... And they'll probably placate you and say, yeah. But reality is, they see my humanity, and they see your humanity. But it's all about Jesus and his grace and forgiveness, not the fact that we're great human beings and holy saints from the Lord from on high. So don't fall into that trap. Share your story. With a spirit of humility, this can be very, very effective and very well done. Yes, next one. Celebrating holidays. It is legal to wish someone a Merry Christmas or have a Christmas party as long as you make it clear that your employees are not required to attend. Now, you can make it purely voluntary. That's the several steps away from the edge of the cliff. Or you can get right next to the cliff and say, this is our Christmas party celebration. Everyone is required to attend unless it violates your sincerely held religious beliefs to attend it. So let me know and we'll reasonably accommodate you and not require you to attend. So you can go right up to the edge and you can make that statement. And what if you give out bonuses at the Christmas party? And Abraham Leibowitz doesn't show up because of his belief. What do you do with Mr. Leibowitz? You make sure you give him the bonus. And what if you give out free hams to everyone? Well, you give a free... Well, no, you don't want to do that, probably. Do you have to give a turkey to him? No, if you gave out hams, if he doesn't want hams, he doesn't have to have hams, okay? Anyway, he's weaving things through here, all right. Did you guys get that, the kosher thing, the hams not being... Okay, all right, just making sure. All right. You make accommodations... Oh, actually, I did. Keep going, yeah. I did, sorry. Keep going. Very good. Religious materials at work. As a business owner, you can decide what types of religious materials are displayed at work. For instance, a Bible on your desk. Okay? You can make that available on your desk. You can have that. How about something really radical? How about having Christian music? Can you have Christian music with the words? Yes, you can. You can have that in your business place. Now, what if an employee comes up to you and says, look, this is an environment that I cannot do my job. It is distracting to me to hear these words. I am Hindu, and this is just really bothers me. It's just a distraction. Maybe they don't know why it's bothering them, you know, but... They arguably can say they could find a lawyer probably maybe to file a lawsuit alleging a hostile work environment. That's a possibility. So what you could stay in your ground, or what you could do in the alternative, which is what I would probably do, is play Christian music without the words. In order for them to win their lawsuit, they'd have to argue that there's a spiritual dimension to this music that is fighting them. And I mean, it'd be an awesome lawsuit because the judge would have to rule on the spiritual nature of just the music itself and the power of the music. I mean, it'd be great. Anyway. Oh, yeah. I'll talk about that, too. Let's say that they have the employees have their Bibles on their desk in their private workstations. And they have, let's say there's a Muslim who has a Quran on their private workstation. The answer is yes. That's a reasonable combination. If you allow people to have their Bibles on work desks, you should allow them to have on their desk. But let's say they're working with, let's say you have clients. You have an impact in terms of your clients and you don't want to lose business. Then you might want to change your policy with regards to that. If that comes up and say, you know what, because of our clientele, we encourage employees not to have their religious books on their desk. That becomes a little more problematic, but because if you allow only employees to have their Bible on their desk and not let him have his Quran on his desk, then we're not getting into reasonable accommodation because that's not necessarily their beliefs to have it on the desk. But instead, we're dealing with the issue of creating a hostile work environment, and that's where it comes into play, where you need to be sensitive to that. But employees generally have should be allowed to have private religious things on their desk. We sued the state of California. I did in the Department of Education because they wouldn't allow an employee to have religious material in his private workstation. And the Ninth Circuit reversed the lower court and said government employees are protected to have religious items in their private work cubicles unless they're providing services to the public where the people in the public might be intimidated because of those religious materials. So the Ninth Circuit, you know what's incredible about the Ninth Circuit? I'll tell you something. You get really discouraged, right? It's the Ninth Circuit. I mean, come on, what good thing can come, right? Well, just remember this. If in the Old Testament, God can speak through a donkey. Yep. Anyway, so. I may cut that one off the tape. We'll see. So, Christian pictures. Oh, also about Christian music. Just so you know, we advised a company up in Petaluma area. And they play Christian music. An employee came in and says, is this Christian music? And the owner says, yeah. He says, well, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. And he says, what is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? And you say, in a lot of parts of the country, like in California, that's not that unusual. There's a lot of people who don't know what it means to be a Christian. Not, you know, it's the world isn't a Tyler, Texas, you know, where everyone's had the four spiritual laws hand them to at every Dairy Queen and Burger King or something, you know. So, I don't know, I thought that was funny. All right. Okay. Christian pictures. You can have Christian pictures up with Bible verses. And that's fine. And you're protected to do that. All throughout the company if you want. Bibles in the break room. Can you have a Bible in the break room? Well, on the National Day of the Bible, you can put, no. All, every day you want, you can have a stack of Bibles saying, free, take one only, okay? You can do that, and or two if you want. Now, what about the Muslim says, hey, I want to put my stack of Muslim, my Qurans there. You can say, well, you know what, this is my company, and no, I just want Bibles there. So that's who we are, and that's what I promote. But you don't have to take a Bible if you don't want one, okay? Now, if you work for the government, and the government allows the religious book, they have to allow everyone. So the government employees have more empowerment regarding religious protection than private sector in on issues like this. Church event postings, you can post events to your church. You could also have tickets to an event, like you can make those available as well. But the tickets, like to your church Easter pageant thing, whatever, you want to make sure you don't have it on the supervisor's desk, so he can see who takes one and who doesn't. You want to make it, you know, the assistant, the receptionist, someplace where they can get the tickets without there being a tally of who's coming and who's not. Employer-employee interactions at work. It is acceptable to share your faith during regular work interactions, but I'll give you a good pose. Did you get this one? Okay, good. I get this one. No. I just like to make it easy for you, you know. I like this.
Took my rhythm away.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. So it is it's best if the discussion is initiated by the employee. This is talking about like a supervisor to subordinate, all right? That's usually what you're talking about. Employee to employee, there's a lot more liberty there. But a supervisor to a subordinate, you want to make sure that you know it's initiated by the employee. And then you can respond to it, just like I mentioned about that case in Petaluma. Make it clear that the promotion or career is not dependent on their faith and that special benefits or perks are not given as a result of what they believe. And you always want to make that really clear if you ever invite them to church. Say, look, this is, you know, I'm just letting everyone know this has nothing to do with benefits or perks. Next. Creative outreach to the community. As an employer, you are able to choose many ways, and some of the stuff you're going to say, what? You know, say what? Okay. Many ways to engage in outreach to your community and to choose the image you want to project to your customer. You know. Okay, I thought that was a good post. Anyway. Okay, next one. Donations to charities. Your company is protected to give donations to charities. Okay? You're protected to do that. You can also have matching gifts to those charities that you want to have matching gifts for. So let's say you say, hey, I really love Campus Crusade or some other organization, you know. And you say Salvation Army, Campus Crusade, Focus on the Family, just throwing three out randomly. You can say, okay, all employees who wants to give to those will match you dollar for dollar up to whatever, $500. And they say, well, no, I want it to give to the United Way. Well, we're not working with United Way. That's not one of the charities we've chosen. I want to give to Planned Parenthood. Well, that you can give that, but we're not going to match that. That's up to you. So you have that freedom. Many companies believe they have to work just with United Way. Well, if you want to work with United Way, get this. You can choose a United Way chapter that aligns with your beliefs. Let's say you live in North L.A. There was a company in North L.A., Westlake Village, a large insurance company, and they were part of that United Way. And that United Way gave to Planned Parenthood, the Gay Lesbian Alliance, some things, those kind of organizations. And over $1 million was being given to that United Way. Well, one of the people on our advisory board happened to be an executive with that company. And he said, you know what, I really think I'd like us to shift to this other United Way that I think is more, will have a better result because it seems to be more balanced in what they support, i.e., crisis pregnancy centers, the Boy Scouts, and they did, and they shifted. And that was a big impact every year now. big impact. Those and which I love. So you can choose United Way. Also, you can donate your employees to charity to work a certain amount of hours each month to enhance public relations with the community. You're saying, wait a minute. Elmer, did he say, yes, Mildred? Yes. You can give your employees, and that's what a company, Peter Ox in Orange County has a company. One Friday a month, the employees go out and they serve the community. Now, they serve the charities that he set up to serve. And you can say, these are the charities we've set up to serve. These are the groups, these are the ones we have relationships with, these are the ones we're working with. And what if you have, Muhammad Ishmael who says, I don't like these charities, or these are Christian charities. You say, well, Muhammad, then you can work if you don't want to participate. That's okay. We'll reasonably accommodate you, and we'll let you continue working on that Friday. You don't have to. If it violates your religious beliefs, you won't be punished.
Employees get paid either way.
Employee gets paid either way.
So they either work at my office or they work
for the charities. But he says, well, no, I want to work for CARE, the Islamic organization. Do they have to be able to let them work for that organization? No. No. It's your prerogative. It's your company. I love this. Partner with churches. You have a church project, something going on. Pastor says, okay, we have a need here. We've got refugees that are coming to our community. Our church is supposed to take care of 1,000. We're overwhelmed. We don't know what to do. We have tents that need to be put up on this weekend, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You can say to your company, you know what, employees, if we're going to work with this church on this project on a Saturday, and you could take Monday off or Tuesday off next week, or you work it out with them, but you could, or let's say a Friday, say on a Friday, so you have to worry about that, and if it violates your religious beliefs, and with this regard, let us know. Let's say you forget to say, if it violates your religious beliefs, let us know. Let's say you totally forget that, and you've got an employee who was, let's see, Buddhist. Okay, I got to make sure I cover all my religions here. So you got somebody who's Buddhist who says, oh, this is terrible. I cannot do this. But he doesn't say it, tell anyone, and he just leaves the company and files a lawsuit. Are you liable because you didn't say reasonable accommodation? You didn't use the language? You're not. It's in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's up in the state of Washington. He went from the state of Washington here. Don't be ashamed of it. Yes, very good. Originally, okay. Beautiful state. On the right side of the mountains, in my opinion. But that's, so that court held that an employer was protected because the employee has an obligation, generally speaking, to let the employer know. Now, the case I told you about earlier, if there's a reason to understand that this employee needs a reasonable accommodation that the employer knows about, they need to inquire, okay? But generally speaking, it's up to the employee to let the employer know. Otherwise, you can't be sued. That's the good news. Isn't that great?
Wow.
So it's their obligation to let you know. Actually, the company had a mandatory Bible study prayer meeting. And the court ruled in favor of the company because the employee who quit did not let them know about their sincerely held religious beliefs and needing to be accommodated. Creative outreach to employees. As an employer, you are able to choose many creative ways to engage in outreach to your employees. I like, as this presentation goes on, you'll see it gets more and more radical, as you'll notice this, which I love. Sponsor employees' children to be in summer activities like Christian summer camps or vacation Bible schools. You could post all the vacation Bible schools going on, VBSs in your community during a summer, all the weeks. You can post them all, and you can say, by the way, we the company will sponsor and pay for any of your children or grandchildren to attend any of these. Just let us know which ones, and we'll register them. You have a lot of parents who say, two parents are working, they're like going, oh, they may not even be Christian, but they're thinking, I don't know what to do. They're going to pay for vacation Bible schools? Is it like a babysitting thing for many parents? Yes, it is. That's okay, because the kids are going to get exposed to the gospel and the Bible, and it's awesome. So this is a great opportunity. I would definitely take advantage of that. Sponsor an organization like Mothers of Preschoolers. We work with a company. This is up in Northern California, and it was Santa Rosa. And this company brought in MOPS. It's called MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. Great program. They have a lunch once a month. It shows that you care about employees. How many companies do that? It's doing things that are above and beyond that really shows true compassion as opposed to social obligation and pressure. This shows that you care. Mothers of Preschoolers. It shows compassion. And that brings greater loyalty and reduces turnover because it creates greater relationship and bonding, as you guys know. You also want to sponsor employees to go on short-term missions. You can do that as well. By the way, what's our time so far? Because I don't, my cell phone's
eight
over
minutes.
There. We have 8 minutes left? Thank you, sir, for the bad news. Okay. Sponsor employees to go on short-term missions. You're protected to do that. You can say, all the employees who want to go on a short-term mission trip, 2 weeks to Guatemala, you might want to start it off sort of nicer to attract people. So to the resort of Hawaii, if you want to go, it's paid for. We'll pay for everything. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. You can do that. That's protected. And you can partner with your church, may have a short-term missions trip. I mean, that can be really, really life-changing. That's fine. You can make it available. What about FCCI conference? Can you make that available to your employees if you want? Yeah, you can. Or maybe senior management. Offer scholarships to specific Christian colleges. I love this. You can say, okay, there's three Christian colleges. If you want your children to go to one of these three colleges, we'll give them a $500 a semester scholarships, assuming they have a GPA of at least 2.0 or something. Whatever your restrictions are. And by the way, those colleges are Biola University, Azusa Pacific, and California Baptist. Oh, no, wait.
Corbin.
Those are Corbin, and that's all. You can do that. Just Corbin. I was trying to think of the name, so thank you. So you can do that. Very good. And what if they say, well, we don't want to go to those colleges? So that's okay. You don't have to. Now, this reduces turnover. Why? Because, say, Jane Jones is there, and she's thinking, well, I'm thinking of going to another company. Oh, wait a minute. My son will lose his scholarship next semester. And then John has to say, Johnny, Mom, you know I need that money. You know I need this scholarship. You're right. I should stay with the company. Okay. Little drama there. All right. You can bring in outside speakers, even inspirational speakers. Offer tickets to Christian events. I already mentioned that one. You can do that as long as you don't have bias or discrimination or favoritism. You can have the Truth Project brought in. Have it during lunchtime. How many have heard the Truth Project before? Okay, how many of you who've heard it, raise your hand if you think it's awesome and this would be a great thing to bring into a company. Raise your hand. Okay, most of your hands went up. So that's that kind of thing you can do. Employee union dues. There are unions that engage in political activities that are inconsistent with the faith of the average worker, like teachers' unions. They're protected under Title VII to have all their union dues, every penny, diverted to a charity that's in agreement with their faith instead of the union. Not just the political portion, I mean all the union dues. We already have close to 300 that we're in the process of processing of people who've opted out. And to get more information, go to choosecharity.com. You can look at that and make this available to come to your employees and just make them aware of this. Also, faithandworkplace.net has information as well. Employee documentation complaints. There are significant liabilities if you hear or involved in bullying or harassment. You want to make a reasonable effort to accommodate employees taking their religious holidays or other religious observances. And by the way, your investigation should be immediate in any complaints at all regarding harassment in any context. Feel free to contact us if that happens and you're sort of wondering, gosh, is this crossing the line? Is this harassment or not? You know, John invites Bill to church and Bill complains. Is that harassment? No. Harassment is either A, continually bothering someone where they know or they should have known that they're not interested and they want to be left alone, or using language like, you know, listen here, Michael, I know you're a pervert, and you need Jesus, and I just really, okay, not a good, that kind of labeling is harassment on its face, even if you don't intend it to be. I know nothing about that. Just, if you were one, I would have used Rod. Okay. Maintain. I'm going to make sure I don't get sued here for libel slander. Maintain detailed personnel files on every employee. It's easy for small companies to say, well, I know this person. It doesn't matter. You can still be sued. So you want to be sure and do this. States like California, you can have just as little as 5 employees and you're subject to discrimination lawsuits. So as opposed to the 15 employee.
It's
only hire 4. Yeah. All right, regular performance reviews should be done on every employee, and notes should be taken during the meetings and reviews with employees to provide a track record of the employee's performance. That's very important because if you let them go, you need to be able to justify it with a track record. Otherwise, you're sitting duck for all kinds of allegations. What if you don't have this and the employee, you give the pink slip and they come out, they know they're going to get the pink slip, they know it's coming, and they come out of the closet and say, by the way, I just want everyone to know that I'm gay. And I'm also a transgender or something. Usually it's not both of the same, but just for the sake of argument. and you're about to give them a pink slip. If you haven't made this really clear, they have just guaranteed their employment for indefinitely for quite a long time. So you want to make sure you do this, okay? Otherwise, they can allege it's discrimination-based. And by the way, do you want to fire everyone necessarily because they're homosexual, because they're gay, or because they're transgender? Oftentimes, we feel uncomfortable with this. I'm just going to say something. Something that God's really put on my heart is how we as Christians need to be, I think, more zealous than ever before to reach out. Amen. And to these to people. We're all lost. You know, as it was, you know, we've all fallen short. It's by but for the grace of God, so goes us. And I think that kind of heart of humility needs to be a part of our Christian culture as we deal with employees, and they, so they can we can have impact lives. It's great having Christian employees, but it's also exciting to have opportunities to reach out, even though there is a risk to those who are or don't know the Lord for whatever reason. This is where you go, pgi.org. Any questions for the brief time we have left? Yes, sir.
Earlier, you talked about church event postings.
Yes.
Now, when you do postings of any kind, don't you also have to allow them to do union recruiting postings? Like, in other words, this is less religion and more equal access to the bulletin board.
Well, if you're the government, the answer is yes. We actually took on the Postal Service because they're harassing someone who announced a Christmas event, and someone with a rainbow flag in their thing complained and said, this is offensive to her. And they were punishing our client, and then we represented him. They said, right, because it's the government. Now, private sector, you can put the parameters you want for that bulletin board. You can say, anything on this bulletin board must be approved by the management. And if your company wants to promote a religious event, that doesn't mean you have to let Muhammad promote his thing.
Well, my bigger concern would be the National Labor Relations Board.
Yeah.
In preventing, they've come down on companies for saying, if you allow Girl Scout cookie announcements up on there, you have to allow this recruitment drive poster for the union to organize up on your community bulletin board.
Oh, for the as far as union organization.
Yeah, union organization, because it, once again, it's less about religion and more about
right. Okay. Yeah, and that's true. And thank you for bringing that up. Union and union access is a different animal, and you're correct. So if you have those kind of issues, talk to us. Excellent point. Yes.
So with the interview, if you're introducing your own faith and ask if they're comfortable with that, and they're giving body language that says they are uncomfortable, but they say no, I'm fine with that. Is that gray area in terms of not hiring somebody? If you said, well, I didn't hire them because they obviously weren't comfortable with the situation, they said I was comfortable.
Right. Well, first off, I wouldn't, as a practical matter, put it on their notes. I can see they weren't comfortable when I started describing the culture, the Christian culture of the company. I think that's problematic, personally. But you need to, but you could make more general statements. In the interview, this person did not seem to feel relaxed. They seemed tense and stressed, or tense, and I didn't feel this would be a good fit. You know, so you're not open to even going down that road. But is it valid? I mean, if it was pushed, was it valid to say I shared what our company was about, and I got some, you know, negative signals from this person that they would feel very uncomfortable? They said they wouldn't be, but their body language was telling me. If the judge agrees that what you're saying is true, if they say yes, this is he's being true, then you'd be defended. You'd be protected. But the question is, it becomes issues of fact and who they believe, and that's why you want to step back and avoid that, so that doesn't become an issue if you're ever sued for that reason. So.
So you say you should introduce your faith.
Yes. Absolutely.
You should document it if they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, you can just put a note on here. Employee seemed tense during interview. I don't think this would be a good fit. You know, I wouldn't go into the idea of when I was talking about my faith. Seems like they're don't even. I would not make that an issue, because then that could be then if they file a lawsuit, they can allege that something different, saying this person push their faith and seem to imply that I had to believe this faith. That wasn't what you said, but that's what she's going to allege. So I'm just thinking from a litigation perspective. Yeah,
stay away from the cliff.
Stay away from the cliff.
Yeah.
That's the purpose. I'm because we're going to represent you. When all this stuff, everything we've said here, We at Pacific Justice Institute have partnered with FCCI so that if anything you carry out, you're sued for, we will represent you without charge. We'll pick up all the costs and all the expenses. That's what we do. There's a case, I don't have time to mention it, in Salinas, they had a pool, swimming pool. They had Christian pictures, Christian music. They were sued by an atheist mother who thought their child should be able to not be have to be exposed to this. The attorney was expecting a quick check for $20,000, $30,000, or $50,000 for them to go away. It's called the go-away money. And instead, someone from their church told them about PGI. We stepped in. We represented them for 2 years of litigation without charge. The judge dismissed the case and said, these people are not discriminating. As long as they're not discriminating, they're free to be as robust as they wish with regard to their faith in their workplace. And we want to make sure, I play it like baseball. I want to make sure no pitch ever goes past that plate so that no one is ever forced to capitulate. And instead, we're able to hit them back and hit them back. We keep hitting them back. If we keep hitting them back consistently like this, then we're going to make a lot of progress. And those bad attorneys won't bother us as much. Yes?
Fortune 500 company hire a marketplace chaplain in, say, certain branches around the country, and can that chaplain in the workplace and, like, pray before business meetings?
Oh, yeah.
That's legal?
Yeah. They could have bring in a chaplain and have him pray before business meetings and things like that. Yeah.
What about prayer before meetings?
Yes. Yeah, you can pray before your meetings. You can pray before every meeting if you want. Now, let's say you see Mike, and with your eye closed right here, one eye closed, you sort of peek up a little bit, and you see Mike doesn't have his head bowed and eyes closed. Can you say, Mike? You know? Yeah. There's a problem there, because then you're intimidating him. Even though he hasn't told you anything about his religious beliefs and convictions, you're it's creating a hostile environment.
So,
yeah, it goes to the voluntary, right. So, excellent question. But yeah, this yes, sir.
You've made a number of statements about make available to your employees, make this available to your employees. Can you discriminate by saying, oh, I just want senior management? Well, I want this department to take advantage of this.
In other words, yes.
I'm a very big company. If I open it to everybody, then I'll leave.
Oh,
it work.
Absolutely. You can limit it as you want, but make sure you don't make sure the limitation is a valid reason, a valid most. Like, for example, if it invades a suspect class category, like only men, because they are God's leaders, as spiritual leaders, only they can, you know, then you're in trouble. Even if you sincerely believe that only men really are qualified to do that. So I'm going to wrap up because I do the 5-point person, and when five leave, it's time to wrap up. But I'm going to that's just the rule, and it was very quick five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you could please be so kind, the brochures are right here. I should have passed them out. If you'd like to keep up with our work and keep up with us or possibly support our work, it's up to you. It's not required. We represent people who don't support us. Never a requirement. But if you'd like to, please fill out that little form and you can hand it to me and also those little videos. Thank you. Actually, let's pray. Lord God, I pray for your spirit of boldness upon everyone in this room. Father, let them not just be convenient. Let them not just be careful. But Lord, let us follow what you want us to do. And yet use wisdom at the same time. God, we give you the praise and glory for all those in our companies who need to know you, Father. Inspire us, Lord God, not to let them down and to hold back the truth and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Thank you very much. Huh?
Are you regional? Or?
We're nationwide. We're all over the country except Jacksonville, Alabama. No, teasing. Including Jacksonville, Alabama.
Awesome.